This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. I've had a Samsung Gear VR Innovator Edition on my face, and it's the first glimpse at what consumer virtual reality will be like. Plus, my Dark Horse candidate for Game of the Year came out this past week, and you haven't played it yet. Tonight is December 14th, 2014, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I almost missed the start of my own show, and I was sitting right here. I almost forgot to hit record, forgot to unmute my mic. It's going to be one of those nights. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It is live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And you can check in. You can check in, get some points, get on the leaderboard, just like Fifth Dream and Tiger Claw. They were the first two to check in tonight. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, don't worry. We can still take care of you and get some points on our leaderboard for you. All you got to do is listen for the passphrase somewhere in this episode and put that in on the site sometime during the week that this episode is the most current one, and you'll get the same amount of points. I forgot to announce last week that Raginator and Tiger Claw were the first two to check in. I jumped straight past it. When I blame the fact that OLR had recorded earlier in the day, and it just threw me off, even though it wouldn't have thrown me off till the end. I'm making excuses. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or you can call toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. One of the things I like to do is at the beginning of the show, I like to read comments about the previous episode of the show. And this is actually from Rob from Orange Sounds Radio, but I wanted to get his thoughts in here in the beginning because I mentioned him because they weren't there. So I obviously talk about them when they're not here, just like they talk about me when I'm not here. And I had mentioned Rob from OLR that he was kind of upset at a lot of the No Man's Sky trailers. And he wanted to clarify his stance. So we're going to give him a voice here at the beginning of the show instead of just at the end. And Rob wrote at VogNetwork.com, just to clarify, I don't have a problem with announced trailers, and the announced trailer for No Man's Sky was really, really cool the first time. But I was starting to find the fact that they were showing the same thing each and every time. A little bit of what was in the YouTube that I linked would have been great to see in the literal back-to-back trailers they saw over the weekend, which had gameplay elements and actual game. There actually is a game in No Man's Sky. I'm sure the game will be great, and I'm looking forward to playing it. Just something I'd like to see different in the future. And because we, talked last week about the Game Awards and the PlayStation Experience, where a lot of trailers were shown, and not all of them had gameplay. And even though, like, No Man's Sky trailer was probably, that was considered gameplay, it's not gameplay as in what we want. It's not boom, boom, shoot things. You know, it didn't show you what you... why you would care to do the things that you were doing. So that's kind of where that distinction lies. At least it was not pre-rendered, but it had some, because I don't think all that was in game. But anyway, I would like to see more gameplay trailers, and that's why I'm kind of okay with Fallout 4 or Half-Life 3 aren't ready to be shown gameplay wise. Then they don't bother with a trailer that shows me nothing. I want to talk first, before I get into the thing that's going to make you all drink. It's and this is where I've been a bad reviewer, I guess. Because I've had a game. I've even talked about it on the show before. And the embargo to put up my review was up last Monday. So I could have put up my review Monday afternoon, and I didn't. And it was because I didn't feel like I had done enough with this game. And as I kept going through it and getting farther in it, I am actually going to sit here and say that this is probably the closest thing, this game I'm about to talk about, is the closest thing that I will come to have a game of the year this year. And I know that's strong words. I don't usually give a really traditional game of the year because I haven't played everything. I don't have the time to play everything, so it's not fair for me to give a game of the year. I usually talk about the game I've enjoyed the most, and it's actually this year, it's been this game is the one that I've enjoyed the most. My review is going to be up extremely soon because I am almost complete with the game. Just, you know, timing and the fact that I needed to wait for the game to release. And it's called The Talos Principle. This is a game. It's by Crow Team. So it's the same people that made Serious Sam. But don't look at it that way. Don't look at it like it's Serious Sam. And it's published by Devolver Digital. And it is a first-person puzzler. So the thing that I can compare it to the closest is Portal. Except there's no portals in it. But it's in that vein of... It's a first-person puzzler like Portal is a puzzler, where you're trying to solve, get through areas. Some of the areas have enemies that kill you and take you back to the beginning of the level. And it's really good, and it's a big surprise for a lot of people that didn't think that the guys that made Serious Sam could do this. So essentially, it is a – and even the story, now it's not like Portal in the story because Portal had a very lighthearted, fun story. This is the complete polar opposite. And this game, the story, it's all metaphysical. It's all about what is thought. What does it mean to be human? And it's one of those games that, like Myst, that just drops you in. There's no manual. It does not tell you a thing. All you know is that you're a robot at the beginning, and you are in what looks like ancient Rome. But you can see that, you know, like some of the you know, the areas, like they'll, you know, zap away and you'll see ones and zeros and stuff. So you know it's a computer-generated world. And there's a computer terminal with a little eye, and it's beeping at you. And when you go up there, you can go up there and type commands and read files. You can read text files. You can read some websites. You can read emails. And there is this overarching, the GLaDOS-type character is this, you know, this booming voice in the sky. He's named Elohim, which is Hebrew for God, if you didn't catch that. And it's telling you about how you are in his garden, and you can roam around his garden. Just stay away from the big tower in the center. So obviously, you now know what the game is. And I'm not spoiling anything, really, with that. And you're going through, and you are. He's got challenges. Elohim has put out several challenges for you, and so the gameplay is actually you're getting the Tetris pieces, the Tetranominoes, all these little Tetris pieces, and they're color coded. Green are easy puzzles, yellow are harder puzzles, and red are the hardest puzzles. And you're going through, and at first you go into a room. In the beginning of the game, you have a jammer, which can shut down doors, shut down enemies that if you get too close to them, they blow you up, and turrets that if you get in their line of sight, you blow them up. And you start off with that, and you have to use multiples of them in creative ways. You have to think really outside of the box to get these puzzle pieces. And then eventually you'll get connectors, which you can put a colored beam of light through areas to open other doors. And if so, you may not have a jammer, you may have connectors, and you're going to have to think outside of the box on how to do that. And, you know, if you're only given two connectors, you think you may need three. You need to figure out how to do what you need to do with just two. You'll get a box later. I can't remember. Hexahedron or something, I think is what they call it. A box that you can do various other things, jumping up to some areas. And then you'll get the ability to time shift yourself. So it's kind of like Time Rifters, if you remember I was talking about that, where you record yourself doing something, and then that recording plays back, and you go and do the other things while it opens doors for you and things like that. And then there's a jumping, something that will allow – there's fans that allow you to jump across and, you know, platforms that can be held and things. So they add other elements. But essentially you're going through – in the gameplay, you're actually getting these Tetranominoes things. Which then you actually have to arrange to open doors or unlock the other objects that you're going to use for later levels. And you go through three different environments. So once you get tired of Rome, you go into Egypt, and then you go into England, into the castle there, like a castle era England. But really, it's the story. And the story is actually written by, and I didn't write down their names here. It's going to be in my review on Vogue. But it's like one of the guys that wrote FTL and things. So it's a very deep story, and you don't really think about it for a while. Because a lot of the text files, it's like, oh, here's, a passage about ancient Rome and some, philosopher and stuff. And you don't think it really has anything to do with it. But eventually you do start to piece together what happened and why you're there. And there's actually there's an AI that talks to you, or I don't know if it's an AI. There's something else that talks to you and actually does a Turing test with you, to see if you're human. And so you have to actually like try to pass the Turing test to get administrator access. And then it starts asking you questions about, what is thought. And there are conversation trees like you would find in an adventure game. But some of the conversation trees, you only get one shot and there's six possible answers. So you really have to think about what you need to say, because you can't just like go down the conversation tree and then go back and try it again, even though you can restore your game. So it's really the combination of the puzzles that you can actually see, of getting to the puzzle piece and playing the game, and the puzzle of, how to convince this other thing that's talking to you through the computers to give you more access so you can learn more about the story. It's actually really, it's really well done, and I really enjoy it. I'm going to be giving it an A. The only complaint I really had, especially in the beginning, was that the difficulty curve jumps drastically. And the reason I couldn't review it by embargo day or by launch day is because I had to wait for the game to come out so other people could beat it and post on GameFAQs or whatever how to beat things. Because I would spend like an hour on a single puzzle. I literally did. I timed it one time and I spent an hour and I'm like, I gotta move on. And you do need to solve all the puzzles to be able to get one of the endings. There's three different endings. So I was trying to go through that, and luckily now like walkthroughs are out, so that's not really a bad thing. But in the game, there is no really real hidden system. There is there are QR codes all over the place that are left by other characters and stuff. But you can also leave a QR code yourself for other people on your friends list. So that was kind of neat. I left a couple QR codes in some weird places for people on my friends list to find later. But there is a help system. But it's, you don't unlock the helps areas. They're called messengers. You have to find and awake the messenger, and then if you ask for their help, they give you a cryptic clue, which is probably just as cryptic as the puzzle you're trying to solve. And you only get three of those for the entire game, so you better use those wisely. There's not really a help system in the game. And there are, for people who are completionists, there are added stars, which are hidden throughout the level. And some of them are very easy, and some of them are extremely difficult, and some of them actually require you to use outside resources. So you actually have to, use stuff out of the game and maybe even do some research out of the game to be able to figure them out. Use other means to decode what something is saying if the game doesn't provide it to you. And so I've seen some of those and done some of those, and they're bigger brain teasers than the actual puzzles. So if you are a puzzle fan, and this is unlike Portal, this is actually, it should take people 15 to 20 hours to get through for the first time the game. I'm actually at hour 20 and I only have like six pieces left to get. So I'm very close to the end. There's like 120 puzzles in the game. So this is going to keep you occupied for a long time. It's out for PC now on Steam. And it's coming out on PS4 in early 2015. I think that there's an Android port as well. So it's really good. And everybody's making fun of me. Without the Bobby Blackwolf mode, Bobby struggles. Thanks, Breakman. But this is... It really does rack your brain, and there are some great aha moments that you can get without using any hints or anything, and it helps you in later levels try to figure it out. And Elohim will even tell you, you know, oh, you know, maybe if you spend too long on something, he'll actually say, maybe you should leave and come back later, and maybe the answer will come to you. And then if you leave, you get an achievement, by the way. Or if you keep at it, despite what he says, and then finally get it, then you get another achievement. So there's some achievement tips for you. It's called the Talos Principle. It's by Crow Team, published by Devolver Digital. It's available now on Steam, and it's great. And it is probably the best game, the game I've had the most fun with this year. I'm not going to say best because that means that other things suck, and I don't want to say that. This is the most fun I've had with the game, even with its frustrating puzzles and everything. It's the most fun I've had with the game, and I've really got engrossed in trying to figure out what's going on, because it doesn't tell you what's going on. And I only use walkthroughs for like two of the puzzles. And then I was like, really? The one thing, the puzzles that I will say that I hate the most are the ones that actually have the enemies that, you know, blow you up and take you all the way back to the beginning of the level. So there's like, if there's like 10 steps to get to the Tetris piece, and you die on step 8, you have to do steps 1 through 7 again. And I hate those. I love the puzzles where there's no enemies so you can take your time and really survey everything. But not all of them are like that. But luckily, in later levels especially, there's not that many enemies. Or there's not that many levels that have enemies. So you can actually get through most of the game without having to worry about trying to sprint in specific areas to not get blown up. So now it's time for people to drink. Because this week, I guess it was kind of it was a surprise to me a little bit that it was launching. Because I learned on Monday that the Samsung Gear VR Innovator Edition was coming out. So I immediately bought it, even though I didn't have the device you needed for it. And it came Friday, and I actually upgraded my phone to a Galaxy Note 4, which is what you need for Gear VR. And this is it's basically the partnership between Samsung and Oculus. So this is kind of the first commercially available Oculus headset. And basically it works with the Note 4. You place the Note 4 in this headset that has the lenses like what Oculus uses in the Rifts. More like the DK1 lenses because it doesn't do the chromatic aberration like the DK2 does. But you put it in there and it hooks in via USB. And there's a touchpad on the side and a back button on the side. So this actually has buttons as well as a focus knob on the top. And there's volume buttons as well. And once you put it in, it just loads up if you've got the Note 4 that's updated with the latest software and has the Gear VR stuff built in. And it's not without its flaws. You know, it's not exactly there for consumers. It's not exactly at the point for consumers just yet. It is. That's why they call it an Innovator Edition. What's interesting on Samsung's website, when you buy it, there's actually a checkbox that says, I understand this is the Innovator Edition and is intended for developers and early adopter enthusiasts. So they make it, you actually say, I'm not just a consumer that wants some, you know, cool tech that, and I don't know what to do with it. They actually really make sure that they do everything they can to tell you that this is an innovator edition and is for, you know, people that want to be on the forefront, not necessarily people that want something that just works. But so far, it has just worked. And I'm impressed with mainly the software that's in it. And the reason I'm impressed with it is because this is the first time that we've seen kind of what an intro, an Oculus-delivered introduction to virtual reality is. And it does a really wonderful job with some 360 videos, like introducing you to virtual reality and what's possible. That's something that, you know, you don't get from the developer kits right now because they're developer kits. And the interface, it actually brings up this full interface that actually looks like the Windows menu, like the Windows 8 Metro interface with the big boxes and stuff that show your most recent stuff. But you actually look at things and you tap the side. There's a little touchpad on the side and you tap that and you can scroll that way with that little touchpad. And that's how you can select your content. And they've got a couple of 360 videos, which are actually kind of neat on there. There's like one from the Pacific Rim guys where you're actually in a Jaeger And it's actually neat. There's one that's done by Cirque du Soleil where you're actually like sitting right at the front of the stage, and so you have to look up at the performers, and on the right and the left, if you had headphones on, you actually hear people in the right and left, and they'll, you know, you can look at them, and then it changes, so it does all the audio stuff with that. So it's also got a VR cinema in there, so you can actually watch 2D or 3D movies in a cinema setting. It'll even pull stuff from your memory card. So if you've taken videos, you can actually watch it in virtual reality. And that's what a lot of people thought they were going to be using this for. But really, and I haven't been able to do too much with these because I don't have a controller yet that works with it. But the games, all the games right now are free because Oculus has not set up their pay store yet. So everything that's up there is stuff that developers have given out for free, and they run amazingly on this. It's probably the smoothest experience I've had because my desktop is a little bit behind the times, and so is my laptop. So I don't usually get a very smooth experience playing virtual reality on my PC just because of the oldness of my video card, basically. And instead of buying a new video card, I bought a Galaxy Note 4 and a Gear VR headset. But the games that do work, they are smooth. They're smooth as butter. They work great, the ones that I've been able to play. And if you ask the developers, they say, yeah, that was really, really, really hard to do because you have to cut so many corners to get in on the Gear VR. It's 60 frames a second at 1440p. So it's a higher resolution than the DevKit 2, which is 1080p, but it's lower frame rate because the DevKit 2 runs at 75 frames a second. So it runs really well, and it was actually I had my girlfriend try it because she had tried the DevKit 2, especially at the ATL VR meetup, and this actually gave her a better sense of, you know, it was a better introduction of virtual reality than the other stuff that we've shown that was made by enthusiasts and hobbyists, because this is a professional experience made by a professional company to ease people in, and there was a lot of neat stuff to show that maybe wasn't exactly games, but it was showing a lot of the power of what could be done in virtual reality. So one of the things that people ask me, because they've always asked me this in the DevKit 1, is can I wear my glasses under this thing? And the answer, like the answer in the DevKit 2, is both yes and no. So physically, yes, I can wear my glasses underneath the Gear VR headset. And it's dark. It's like not too far away from my eyes and stuff like that. So it works. I can physically wear my glasses while wearing the Gear VR. Unfortunately, at least for me, I cannot get the focus right because instead of moving the lenses from the sides like you do on the Oculus Rift developer kits, this has a focus thing on the top, which actually moves the lenses closer and further away from your face. And I could never, the words were always blurry. No matter which side of the focus I was on, the words were always blurry. When I tried it with my contacts, I was able to get it clear. So, yes, you can physically wear your glasses underneath, but you're probably going to have to deal with a blurry screen if you do. So the headset fits just fine over them. So it's not a hardware thing. It is a hardware thing because the focus is hardware. But it's not the headset, but it's more the focus. You can't get it exactly right. But it's still passable. It's very close. And Tiger Claw says, that really depends. If you're nearsighted and the object is right in front of you, you don't need the glasses on. See, here's the thing about what the lenses actually do is they actually put the object that you're looking at infinity. So you can sit there and say, oh, it's right by my face, but the lenses, the entire tech of the lenses that are in the Oculus headsets, which include this, is that it actually refocuses it so it looks like it's at infinity. So, you know, don't just assume that, oh, because it's physically 2 inches away from my face that it's really close. That the whole point of the lenses is it tricks your head into thinking it's farther. Because you know what? I'm nearsighted. And I either need to wear contacts or glasses. I cannot get it focused. So, yeah. The games that are on there right now, I've downloaded them all. I have not had a chance because it came Friday afternoon. And I've been busy all weekend. So I didn't really get in. But Darknet, which I've talked about a lot, the full game of that, I think it's the full game, is on there. They've got Dreadhalls, which is a horror game, which I'm not installing ever because I don't play horror games. There's Herobound, which is an adventure game, which I have not played even though I've tried for a reason I'm about to explain. They do have Proton Pulse, which is by the people that made Vanguard V. It's by Pushy Pixels. And that's Breakout With Your Head, and that was one of my favorite games on the Dev Kit 1. And then they've got Titans of Space, which is an experience. They actually put everything, they filter everything by apps, games, and experiences, which is really nice. And there's another couple other experiences that I haven't tried yet. And those are available free right now. And like they're very well optimized for this device. The great thing about the Note 4 and the Gear VR is that everybody has the same thing. So they don't have to worry about, you know, AMD versus NVIDIA and stuff like a lot of the early Dev Kit 2 stuff had to worry about because AMD cards weren't playing nice and NVIDIA cards were. They have one device. It's like a console. There's one device. They know exactly what that one device can do, and they can target to that, and everything's groovy. And that's why this works so well, because everybody knows what it's going for. And that's why Sony, with Morpheus, for the PS4, everybody knows everybody's PS4 is the same right now, and the developers can develop directly for that device. And it's going to be that's why it's going to be smooth there, where people are actually unimpressed with the Dev Kit 2 because maybe they're being demoed on underpowered hardware, and so it doesn't work as well as it would if you had a GTX 980 Ti or whatever the highest thing is. So. But this is the thing John Carmack's been working on since he joined Oculus. He hasn't been working on the Oculus Rift. He's been working on Gear VR. And he did a wonderful job. Lots of blood, sweat, and tears, because it's not easy to do that. Because I think because it's running on Android, Google still will not allow even John Carmack direct access to the hardware. He still had to go through Android to get there, which kind of slowed down progress. He could probably do a lot more if he was allowed direct access. But the Android developers at Google wouldn't allow it. So even knowing that even makes it a little bit more impressive. And, you know, one of the things they do that's actually neat is that because you do have the camera on the front, you can actually have a pass-through camera. So you can actually, like, see, it'll actually show you in real time, like, it'll put up a screen, just a flat screen in front of your face that moves around. And as you look around, you can actually see what's going on around you. So you can actually find your drink or whatever. They do suggest not walking around like that because there is a little bit of a delay, and don't ride a bicycle wearing the Gear VR, which I think would, you know, be common sense, but you never know. It's a neat first glimpse at consumer virtual reality. If you're just a consumer and you're not really developing for it or an enthusiast, I would stay away from it. But if you have a Note 4 and you are interested in it, it's $200, which is a lot of chunk of change for something that's really just a glorified plastic headset with a USB connector in it, because that's really all it is. I think you're paying more for the software that comes pre-installed with it. But, you should probably check it out. And if you're in Atlanta, the ATL VR meetup, we're meeting again January 22nd. At that same Dave and Buster's, and I've been told if I don't bring Gear VR, Peter, the organizer, he's going to cry. And I really don't want to see him cry. Tyler asks, when you put the phone in the Oculus, do you have to take the cell phone case off? There are cases that can make those phones bulky. So I've never used a case with my phone. Never. You do have to take the plastic protector off of the front of the phone. So yeah, you can't have the plastic protectors because I know those can actually mess up a lot in the Gear VR. It does kind of fit snugly, so you may not be able to have. I haven't tried it with any cases because I don't have a case with mine. But I'd have to check and see with someone else. Raginator asks, so you can see virtual reality with this thing, what's the point? The point of the pass-through camera is so you can see something that's going on around you really quickly. If you hold the back button, which you kind of learn where it is on the top on the right, that'll take you back to like this Oculus menu, which is kind of like pressing the Xbox home button on your Xbox 360, which brings up the little panels. Same kind of thing, and then one of those is the pass-through camera, so you can see without actually taking the helmet off what's going on around you. But it's not something you'd want to actually, like, keep on forever. So I will have more impressions about the things that are on it as time goes on. Now, one thing I do want to mention is that some of the games actually require a controller, and Samsung actually came out with a controller with it, but it sold out pretty quickly, and I did not spend the extra $70 for their controller because I'm like, I have a Bluetooth controller. And this was actually when I was at PAX East last year, or 2013, last year, not this year. Moga actually were giving away for free these Bluetooth controllers that worked with Android. And I was like, great, because I had one, and it worked fine. And I was able to use it on my Galaxy S3, which I think SJ Winter Matt said he couldn't. And then before the Note 4 came, when I got the Note 4, one of the first things I did was try to see if this worked with it. And it did. I was able to play like Sonic CD on my Note 4 with this controller, and it was great. All was happy in the world. Turns out that I finally figured out which version this is. I got it for free, and you can get it on Amazon for $15. And the reason that is because it only works with apps and games that were directly built with the MOGA SDK, which none of the Gear VR games were. There are more expensive MOGA controllers, the Pro and I think the Hero, which will actually work as a generic Bluetooth controller, which do work with Gear VR games. And like Herobound and Darknet, even though Darknet you can play with the touchpad, I'd rather wait until I have a controller in my hand. Those do require a controller. So I need to find myself a Bluetooth controller sometime this week, when everybody else is Christmas shopping, to be able to do all that stuff. Because the free one that they were giving out at PAX East doesn't work with this. So I'd ask for a refund, but it was free. Tiger Claw says, I'm still using my Galaxy S3. I would still be using my Galaxy S3 as well if it wasn't for Gear VR. Because it was running just fine, and I was happy with it, and I wouldn't have needed to upgrade. But the Note 4 is kind of cool. Hitstun asks, what about a DualShock 3? So, yes, I have heard people have gotten it to work. I think Dreadhalls is the one game that has a little bit of problem with the DualShock 3. But all the other games do work. So DualShock 3s do work, which I've got a DualShock 3, so maybe I can try that. Because thank you for reminding me of that. But I did actually read about that because DualShock 3s are Bluetooth. So you can get a universal driver that'll pair it to your phone. And those, from what I understand, do actually work with Gear VR. So I should try that. Thank you, Hitstun. So we're going to take a quick music break because I do need to rest my voice. And then we'll take your calls for a little bit about anything going on in the gaming industry that I might have missed. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Ravenator, and I'm not jamming to the greatest song in the world, Crazy Chocobo. I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on the Vlog Network.
See, I already had a bumper that used Crazy Chocobo, so I had to do something different with it. Thank you, Ravenator. That was the bumper he submitted that last week. So it's the newest bumper. And I can keep playing that bumper every week until you send me a bumper. So that way you're not hearing Ravenator talk about Crazy Chocobo every single week. All you got to do is leave a voicemail to the toll-free number, or you can send me an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance. Check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of audiobooks out there where you can make any of them your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. Act Deft is saying, you already did a bumper. That's cheating. I know, but that's why I did a remix of it instead of playing the same song in this one. Anyway, the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Hit's done. We were talking about it, and he still gets headaches from everything. He's tried all the headsets that are out there, including the Google Cardboard shell. The DevKit 2, which I don't think the Gear VR has this stuff, but the DevKit 2 actually does some stuff that does really reduce the VR sickness and the getting of headaches. It doesn't eliminate them, and I don't think anything's ever going to eliminate it for everybody. But they are working in that direction to kind of eliminate getting any kind of VR sickness and stuff. So we do have a call here on the line, Bobby Blackwell Show. You are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. Obi-Wan Jabroni. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. What's up?
Not much. It's, what time is it? It's about, what, 1:42 a.m. right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, you're still up.
My sleeping schedule is messed up. Oh. But let's not mess around.
Right.
Because you know what, Bobby? I got four things. Four
Sweet!
Things. Count them. Four, because someone else might try and call in. So, last week, mm-hmm. you were talking about Street Fighter V.
Right.
So I'm not gonna talk about it too much because it's old. Well, not old technically, but it's from last week. But you were saying because of the crossplay thing.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember back last November, Microsoft kind of reversed a lot of things, didn't they?
They did.
They said, you know, all this blah de blah, and they reversed a lot of things. I think Sony went to Capcom, or Capcom went to Sony and said, there was a, you know, business deal made, cash was laid out, because I think it was last year or this year, earlier this year, Capcom was in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. It sucks. I'm fortunate to have both systems,
right.
So it's, you know, the thing is though, Street Fighter's on pretty much been on every system, so it does kind of suck. But yeah, I mean, that's my take on it. I think there was a shady business deal made somewhere.
And well, then maybe what'll happen is, okay, because Street Fighter V may not come out for the Xbox One, but maybe Microsoft will look at this and be like, oh, well, maybe we should let cross-platform play happen. And then Street Fighter V Ultra Edition will be on Xbox
right.
One.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like how Xbox One only has the exclusive rights forever for Titanfall, but not
right.
Titanfall 2.
Exactly. Yeah. So, jump into the second thing. PlayStation last week was 20 years old.
Yes.
Believe there was another thing that was 20 years old. Tekken was actually 20 as well. Yeah, 94. Mm-hmm. The original Japanese date
yep.
was 94, yeah, so that mm-hmm. Tekken, and that bleeds nicely into the next thing I wanted to ask you. You own GamersHateEverything.com, and I sent you that story, so I was wondering, are you going to do anything with that website? Because I went on there, and it's very, very basic.
Yeah. I'm kind of scared to.
Are you going to, you should, no, because I had this idea, right? You should
right.
crowdsource it.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I sent you that story about Tekken 7?
Mm-hmm.
You should crowdsource it, maybe, like, have it linked to VOG and all the comments and the likes mm-hmm. and stuff, and I don't know. That's just what I put that
so,
out
so
there.
Which story did you send me again? Because I get a lot, so.
Oh, I sent you, there's a character called Lucky Chloe.
Okay, and do you want to know what's hilarious?
Yeah.
That got bumped from my show role today, because I talked too long about your VR.
Oh,
that
fun.
Literally was the story that is next in my
yeah.
thing about the Tekken creator, who is Katsuhiro Harada.
Yeah.
He listened to the consumers and said, oh, you don't like this character I just made? Okay, it won't be available in your region. I'll make a big beefy dude, meathead dude for you.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
everybody's all upset here in America because they complained that it was a sexist character and, you know, it was not Tekken enough. And so he's like, okay, fine, you won't have it. Now they're like, wait a minute, what? And I'm like, he's listening to his consumers. That was the angle I was going to take on it. What's your take on this one?
To me, I don't have an issue with it. It's just a character. You don't have to use the character, mm-hmm. I guess. it's just something silly to get angry about, but you know,
and it's not that Tekken hasn't had like a baby dinosaur,
exactly. Yeah,
they or a panda bear.
Yeah, they have panda bears. They've had a little dinosaur in Tekken 3 called Gon.
Mm-hmm.
They've had but crazy characters. You
but
know?
But the difference was that what I was reading, because I actually did believe it or not, I did try to read like I think I read about 20 of the 30 pages on the NeoGAF thread. And the difference was this is supposed to be one of the main characters, not a side character. And that's what people had a problem with.
Right.
And
right.
because, you know, the baby dinosaur and the panda bear and all that stuff, those were side characters. They're supposed to be jokes. This is, you know, a main character. And
right,
it's not, you're not supposed to joke with the main characters.
Well, it's a feline cat, isn't it? I mean, you know, I'm not going to use the character probably, but I mean, I just, it's just something, it's silly to get worked up about. The fourth thing, I'm going to try and do this real quick because
you don't have to. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Nobody else is calling. Don't worry. You have the floor.
Okay. Yep. Well, if someone tries to call, I just don't want to take anyone else's time. But if anyone does try to call me, yeah, feel free to boot me off. You bought stuff this week. I actually bought something as well this week. Believe it or not, my original fat PlayStation is still going.
Nice.
But as you know, that thing is a behemoth. I mean, that is a big piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. Takes up a lot of space, and I thought, you know what? I don't want this thing to die. I really don't, because it's the one that obviously plays PS1 and PS2 games.
I know. Mine died in my lightning strike a year and a half ago, and I miss
it. Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and I don't want this thing to die, like suddenly to die on me. So I went out and bought a Super Slim. It's the top loader. I don't have an issue with that. It's fine. But I just got it because the size, really. I mean, it's smaller. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've not set up the thing yet because I've got to do the painstaking task of transferring everything over. And this is where Sony, I have a bit of an issue with Sony. Well, the PS3 side of things anyway. I've got to do it because, you know those game saves where some are copy protected?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and some are not even game saves. Some of them save them into the installed games area. So you can't even copy those, you know, where it puts like all the game updates and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And they put, like, I think Little Big Planet moves everything up there.
Yeah, so. I know. Yeah, I saw. And it's so annoying because I've got to buy a 1 month, because I don't have PlayStation Plus. I don't believe it. Essentially, it's renting games. But anyway, for me, I've got to get PlayStation Plus, a 1 month thing, just to move over those, you know, have a backup of those copy protected saves. Mm-hmm. And it's really annoying. I mean, I don't want to turn this into Microsoft versus Sony, but like on Xbox Live, especially on the 360, they give you that space in the cloud. It comes automatically with your gold subscription. Mm-hmm. I wish Sony gave like 50 megs or something, even 20 megs or something.
They do with their gold subscription.
Yeah, for the Xbox does, yeah. But Sony
doesn't. Sony with their gold subscription, which is PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, you have to be a Plus member.
Just like you have to be an Xbox Live Gold member to get it on the 360.
Yeah, but I'm a gold member anyway.
I mean, uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a gold member anyway, so that's fine. But I mean, I've got to go out my way to get a 1 month thing just to kind of copy
Which
these.
I don't even think you can get just a 1 month. I think 3 months is the lowest you can get.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, you can get 1 month here.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get a month. You can get 3 months, and then you can get 12 months. You can't get So those are the three increments you can get here. Okay. But yeah, did you guys get the Slim over there? Because believe it, you did. It's 12.
I don't know, not the top loader. I don't think.
Oh
no,
yeah, it only comes with a measly 12 gig. But what I'm doing is because I'm taking the hard drive out of my current one,
right,
and kind of just pop it, you know, after when I've backed up everything and done all that business, doing it that way and doing the.
Hang on. If you're going to take the hard drive out of your current one, then how are you going to use it to play PS2 games?
I could just hook up a PS2. I do have a PS2,
okay.
So I'll just use it. I just bought this because I don't want this fat one to die on me. And the fact that I think mostly,
but it's gonna die. If it won't work if it doesn't have a hard drive in it. So
true.
You're gonna kill it by taking the hard drive out.
True. I do have the original. I believe it was 60. Was it 60 gig?
Yeah. There was a 20 and a 60.
Yeah, I do have that 60 gig hard drive still lying around, so I could just put that in there, because I know when I put in this hard drive from my fat one to this Super Slim one, it's going to format the thing.
Yep.
So I need to make sure everything's backed up, all these copy protector on, you know, they're on the cloud, those saves, mm-hmm. especially the copy protected ones, which is annoying.
Yeah.
And then go, I could do, and I know people, you know, are saying, yeah, you could do a system transfer, but how, that is going to take forever, you know?
Yeah.
That's because I know you can hook the two up with an Ethernet cable and do it that way, but
right.
It's going to take forever.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take a day. I'd just rather re-download the stuff. And here's a tip, by the way. Mm-hmm. for the for people who are still using a PS3, when you're doing your game downloads and installs, you can actually, you know where all your users sit on your hard drive, on your PlayStation, and then you go to turn it off and then you go to that, and there's a little checkbox that says...
Background download.
I don't know what it says. It says something
automatically. Shut down system automatically after download's complete.
Yes. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to leave it for a day or so and let it re-download everything.
And that not only downloads it, it also installs it. Whereas if you just download it, you have to sit there and then manually select it and install it. No, that's something I do all the time.
Yeah, that's the big one, the installs, because those take a long time.
And while you do that, you can hook up your controller and charge the controller while it's doing that, while the PS3's still on.
One thing to note, though, when I got the Super Slim, I got a copy of Minecraft with it. Not going to touch it.
Right.
I'm going to probably trade that in on Amazon. I don't know if Amazon taking sealed games, though. I don't know. That's one thing I'll have to find out, because I don't want them to think I've stolen it from somewhere. So.
Right.
But no, that was it. The four things are covered right there.
Yeah.
Glad no one else tries to call him, but because you know, actually, originally I was going to do a tease. I was going to do a classic TV tease and say, "Well, you'll have to tune in next week to find out what I bought." But thankfully, I didn't get cut off. So
we had a good amount of callers last week. So it comes in waves. Sometimes I get a lot, and then other times I don't get any. So it's good to hear from you.
I actually did try and call. Well, I didn't try to call. I sent you a message
as I was like closing out the show.
Yeah, and then you said that the last caller was the last caller. So I thought, all right, well, you know, me being English and all that, it's not as, you know, I didn't want to interrupt the call and kind of, I'd rather send you a message and say.
And I never see those until the end.
Yeah,
this guy chaps on it, like, hiding behind three other windows and stuff. So.
Yeah, it's fine.
But we got you this week.
Yeah.
And we got your four things.
Yeah, all four things. That was a lot.
It was.
I should try and call him more often because instead of trying all these things building up. So hopefully OLR talk about that Tekken thing because it's pretty interesting. So
all he's doing is listening to consumers. That's all he's doing. Isn't that what we always wanted?
Yeah, because the consumer's always right.
Yes. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
No worries. Bye.
So that's actually it. We haven't talked to these guys in a while. Orange Sound Radio, they're coming up next year on the Voice Geeks Network. They're three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much longer than I do. And they are back at their normal time tonight. And we like to check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome back to the evening.
Thank you. And welcome back as well to you, because 2 weeks ago you were out.
I know. It's I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a little while. Well, I mean, we've talked, just not on the air.
Bobby, we were in the evening. Just not here in the evening.
That's right.
It's always evening somewhere.
That's right. Just like for you, your last caller could have called into our show last week. It was without having to stay up till 2 a.m.
I know.
That's all right. We had a good time.
So what have I missed in OLR land for the past couple weeks?
Well, last week was actually a pretty busy news week. I mean, as you know, because I know you did. I ended up listening to your show later when you posted it, because you saw my comment, obviously.
Yeah.
Last week was kind of abnormally busy with the whole Game Awards going on and the PlayStation Experience, which I guess has been confirmed to be an annual event. So this is going to be a very interesting shift in the dynamic of announcements, because we're so used to E3 really being the tentpole of the year for announcements. Now, you know, we're going to have this December event that we're going to... Actually, a lot's going on in December next year. I mean, I guess we're assuming the PlayStation Experience will always be in December. Maybe that won't be the case. But now this week, GamerX3, which... GX3, formerly known as GamerX3, which Vogue Network is a sponsor of, also going to be in December next year. Now, not that there's going to be any announcements that come out of that, really.
Right.
But they did have the first playable Borderlands pre-sequel this year. So you never know. You never know. That'll be in December. So it's this very interesting shift in the kind of year of expos. And then you got Penny Arcades all over the place now.
Yeah.
We got PAX South in January. Next year's going to be very interesting to see what releases when. Microsoft, one thing we're going to talk about tonight, Microsoft teasing that they may be talking about games in January. Might not be what y'all are thinking right off the bat, but we'll see. I mean, Microsoft kind of has to respond to PlayStation Experience somehow, so we'll see.
And Nintendo's bringing back Space World, and they're going to show off, finally release that Final Fantasy VI thing for Super or for Nintendo 64.
We heard you guys got excited about Final Fantasy remakes, so
here's more Final Fantasy VI on Nintendo 64. Have at it.
But the best part about that, though, is even if they just do what they did with Final Fantasy VII, you know, for Final Fantasy VI, that's still good.
Yeah.
Because Final Fantasy VI was awesome.
They could even just port Final Fantasy VII to the Wii U, and there's so many fanboys that would be like, yay!
It's fine. Finally on Nintendo.
Nintendo can do no wrong for some people, but you know what? They've had a good year. They really deserve it.
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of fun with Nintendo stuff. Like if it wasn't for that Talos Principle game, it probably my favorite game of the year probably would have been like Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart's so good, and you know, the way it incorporates YouTube and everything. Mm-hmm. Did a random Smash Brothers online battle with Act Deft and one of his buddies the other night. That was fun, even though I really got killed.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. Like I got online and played a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Whoa! I'm living in the future.
And you don't have to deal with idiots because you can't hear them.
Correct.
And so that's not like that's why I enjoy playing Mario Kart Wii. Mm-hmm. I do remember like what the numbering was Mario Kart Wii because like I could race against people and I didn't have to hear them.
I believe Mario Kart Wii was 6, but it was called Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There you go.
So, what games have you been playing the past couple weeks?
A lot of the same types of stuff you usually hear me talking about, like MMOs. You know, I got back into World of Warcraft. That came up in the past couple weeks for the Warlords of Draenor expansion, which is really as good as they say it is. One game I'll talk a little bit about tonight, speaking of a blast from the past, I've been playing way more than you would think of Final Fantasy XIII, thanks to the Steam release and subsequent fix for the game that went in this past week. So I'll kind of give some updates on what they changed and why I'm so into it right now.
All right. Yeah, I've been playing that Talos Principle game.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. I didn't know a lot about it until listening to your show, but I love that they use a cat in the ad campaign. I don't know if you saw the little flash thing on Steam, but I saw it come up on my front page because, you know, Steam kind of caters, and it was the very first game on there. And so I was like, oh, that's the game Bobby is going to have a review of, mm-hmm. where he gets past those puzzles. So,
why can't they port Lost Odyssey?
Why can't? Steam? That's a great question, because that was such an overlooked JRPG.
It's totally Final Fantasy, you know, back.
It really is.
Kind of changed a little bit.
I think it's what a lot of people wanted, like, Final Fantasies of that era to be.
Yeah,
that's the game that some people wanted Final Fantasy XIII to be, was Lost Odyssey. But I think there's a lot of great stuff in Final Fantasy XIII. I know it wasn't for everyone, but there's some really good stuff in it, and you know, I'll revisit that a little bit on later tonight.
So, what are you guys going to be having lined up tonight?
Tonight we have an interview with a group that Loki has talked about. As you know, Loki's been making his game, the Vaporware project,
forever. Yeah.
He's been working on it for a long
time, almost a year now.
Because you know, he also had to deal with the whole job transition and raising two kids, and so he's been slowly but surely working on his game. And one tool that he's used to help him in learning to get by. Didn't these guys help you get over a hurdle that you were having in Unity at one point?
I don't remember.
I think so,
but. I like watching their series. They do a series where they kind of tackle different genres of games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, they'll start a project. They'll go for, like, several weeks, and then they'll kind of stop. So they did, like, recently, they are doing a 2D Final Fight type game. And then, of course, they did one that was just, like, House of the Dead. I mean, it's basic stuff, but... you know, they're showing how to do different types of games and kind of gives you ideas about things.
So, yes, it's a YouTube series called Cooking with Unity, and you can check it out at cookingwithunity.com, and that'll just take you straight to their YouTube page. And we have all three regular hosts coming on the show tonight. Max, Phil, and Jeffrey are all going to be here live to take your questions. And this is going to be a great way to kind of this is a great kind of initiative, I think, for us here at OLR and kind of get the ball rolling on something that I know I'm really passionate about, and I know I'm not good at it, but I'm passionate about it. Bobby, you are good at it, and you're passionate about it. But that is getting more people to actually make games. And we have a little something further to kind of expand on that that we'll be unraveling a little bit later on tonight.
Yeah, and just so people know also, I'm going to kind of like leave an area here for the podcast listeners, because I do want to announce this as well, because I know what it is, but I don't want to announce it right now on live. So I'm actually going to cut in here with a record scratch for the podcast audience and repeat what was announced in a couple hours.
Sounds great.
Okay, so since we're now broken in, what was announced a couple hours later is that we are actually launching a game jam. We were inspired by the Cooking with Unity guys. So we've decided to do our own game jam. It's called the VOG Jam, which stands for Video Game Jam. The O in video is the O in get it? Anyway. And you know, we just really want you to create something, damn it. And so what we're actually doing is Order Zones Radio, they are taking submissions for themes up until Sunday night, where they will do a listless, which is one of their games, and they will pick the theme or the secret ingredient or whatever for the game jam. And then you're going to have a little bit of time to create a game using any game creation tool as long as it is available online. So if you want to do a pen and paper RPG, that's fine. You just need to have all the material online for us to be able to get. If you want to use anything that has a web embed, which would be Unity Web Player or Flash or HTML5, something that outputs that, and you don't have hosting for it, I will host it on VogNetwork.com for you. We can get together, and we can contact me to get like the dimensions and stuff like that. But it's going to start on Sunday, and you will have several weeks. We will announce on OLR and on my show the actual time length and all that stuff and submission guidelines. Preferably not something that is copywritten or using copywritten assets or something. Please make it all original work. But that's essentially what we announced is the VOG Jam, and we're going to start it this coming weekend. So people who maybe, you know, are in school and are on winter break or are, you know, if they don't have a retail job, so they're not working as much right now as they would be elsewhere. That's kind of why we want to get the ball rolling. It's going to run through the new year and then until January, and then all the submissions. And we are going to be giving away prizes based on participation, not judging these at all. We want you to create something, and we don't want you to think that we're going to judge you or say, you know, oh, this sucks or whatever. We are going to be giving prizes to people who participate. It's participation only, not quality. And we just really want you to create something, because we can sit here and talk about games and how we can make games better. But not all of us actually make games. And a game jam is a wonderful way to make a small, tiny game based around a theme along with a lot of other people and have a lot of fun. So Video Game Jam, the VOG Jam, more information and details on Orange Lounge Radio and probably a little bit on my show this coming Sunday night. Oh, and before I forget, to register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase position. And now we're back live. Magic of radio. I like this. So I'm looking forward to that. And actually, those are the guys. I think they're a part of, I think Pushy Pixels is, and they, I actually talk about them. I mean, they have a Gear VR game that came out. And I think it's the same Cooking with Unity guys.
Yeah, they're pushy Pixels. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's Proton Pulse, which was like my favorite Dev Kit 1 game.
And it also, they, I know they had worked a little bit on the non Oculus portion of was a Vanguard V, and I think some of the Oculus part, but yeah, I know that they had showed off some of the, you know, non-Oculus parts of that.
So they're going to be here live at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern, and taking your questions in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com and live on air and talking about, you know, and one thing I'm going to ask these guys about is, you know, because this is really the position I'm at. I want to make a game. I know I need to download Unity. Then what? What's square one? Where do I start? Where's page one? It's chapter one. Like, how do I put pen to paper and get going? And I think if we can just get that little snowflake in some people's ears, maybe that'll start the avalanche of more like creative energy out there from a really cool group such as the participants at VOG Network. Yeah.
All right. So Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that's it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you send the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter at BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit questions on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, obviously, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Titsia, DC Nate, Ronma, Sky, VHJSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Bacon Bits, Blood Drunk, Brad from Pod Culture, Burr, Seal, Crazy Chocobonator, Crispy, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Head Controller Man, Hitstun, Ikuma Jake P, Kenzie, Magma Lemur, I should probably pronounce that right, Melted General, Monster B, MXC, Orange Wright, Sync Slips, Sphinx, SJ Winter Matt, The MXT, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, YYR, and Zappy. So that's it for me. I will be back next week, probably talking more or less about the Gear VR and Talos Principle and other things. Tune in, won't you? All right. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.